It's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. You may be seated. Last week we discussed who is the advisor to our president, Donald Trump, on religious matters, who is the person that prayed at his inauguration and advises him on his decisions that affect the world of the religious realm. Couldn't he find anyone who would be a better choice than her? At the rate the world is traveling upside down, the Pope will soon be a woman. But it's like it was in the days of Elijah. One would have to look long and hard to find a true man of God. Most preachers are Baal preachers. Paul White Cain is just one of the many false prophets. They are universalists, Roman Catholic in their theology. They believe that the Israelites of the Bible are Jews, and that the Jews are the covenant people of God. Most don't know that the Ashkenazi Jews are descended from a branch that is not from the person of Shem. Therefore, they are not Semitic. They make up slightly over 90% of all Jews today. That's according to Jewish records and Jewish books. It is impossible for the Ashkenazi Jews to be at least partly descended from Jacob unless they have intermarried with a descendant of Jacob. We teach, contrary to popular religious opinion, that the true physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his seed are the descendants of the Northwest European people, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people. The truth is almost universally unknown today and heartily condemned by the modern religious world. So, if the real Israelites are a portion of the white race, what does that mean? And if the Israelites are not the Jews, then who are the Jews? Didn't the Israelites have many enemies? Inhabitants who they fought wars with? Sometimes they would be victorious, and sometimes they would lose. Didn't God instruct Israel to commit genocide with the Canaanites whose land they were to occupy? Who is God speaking about when he says the following words? Now I'm quoting Deuteronomy 7, verses 12 through 15. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these ordinances and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy grain and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy cattle and the flocks of thy sheep and the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them all upon those who hate thee. So if Israel obeyed the laws of God, he would keep his covenant with them and bless them above all peoples, among other promises. Of course, this blessing of supremacy above all peoples was conditional under the old covenant. This blessing is repeated in Deuteronomy 10, verses 14 through 15. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. The blessing of supremacy and God's choosing Israel was rooted in God's love for their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Deuteronomy 26, verses 18 to 19. And the Lord hath avowed thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keepeth all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Speaking to Israel, Moses confirmed that God would set you high above all nations. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Once again, God promised that he would bless Israel, setting them high above all the nations. Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies who rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Israel had enemies in the Old Testament. Who were they? Are they still enemies? Or are all races now equal? Did Israel's God promise victory over them if they obeyed his commandments? Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt go out aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now let's just study this last verse for a little while. What does it say? Let's read the last verse again. And thou shalt not go out, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Moses tells the Israelites, all 12 tribes, to not go aside from any of the words which were commanded to them that day. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. For if you do, you are serving other gods. That was Israel's choice in the Old Testament. And is it in the New Testament too? Which God would they serve? Have you ever noticed these two verses that were written down in the book of Exodus that referred to this duty of the Israelites? Exodus 23, verse 24 and 25. Thou shalt not bow down to their, that means the seven Canaanite nations, their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye, the 12 tribes of Israelites, shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Israel was given a choice. How were they to receive the blessing of their God? In fact, what was the message that Moses gave to Pharaoh? Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Israel was to be freed from slavery for the purpose that they would be free to serve their God. When they were living in their own kingdom, they had a choice. Don't bow down to or do after the works that the Canaanite nations did to their gods, or serve their gods. But tear down their idols, that is, destroy completely any worship of them. They were to eliminate the gods of the nations of the land that they took over. They were not to serve them in any way. They were to serve only the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt. Israel was not to practice a multi-faith religious system, and they were not to install integration in their nation. They were commanded to tear down any foreign temples and images in their land. No fortune tellers, no tarot cards, no magicians, no seance meetings, no evergreen tree worship, no child murders, etc. They were forbidden to practice any ritual performed by any foreign religion. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18, part A. Lest there should be among you man or woman or tribe or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swore to give unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. Judges chapter 2, verse 19. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them. And to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Israel was serving other gods just one generation after they were living in the promised land. What happened? In Judges chapter 2, it tells of the angel of the Lord who came and gave a talk to the children of Israel. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I have brought you into the land which I swore to give unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. God appeared to Israel and rebuked them for breaking the laws of conquest that they had been given. Because of their breaking the law that their Lord had given them, he tells them that God would not drive the Canaanites out of their land. He would leave some of them there to test Israel. Would Israel keep the laws of their God, or would they keep the laws of the Canaanites? Which God would they serve? That was the test. That was the test that the Canaanites would give to Israel. If every one of the Canaanites would be killed, then there would not have been any test. Israel would have a much better opportunity to keep the laws that God gave to them if they were not distracted by the Canaanites who were living among them. After the angel gave God's decision, the people who heard him wept. They called the location where the angel talked with them Bochim, which means weepers. And then they made a sacrifice to the Lord at Bochim. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. When the people left Bochim, they went to their inheritance, their homes, and served their God all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord, or yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. The next generation did evil unto the Lord and served Balaam, one of the gods of the Canaanites. Baal was the god of integration and interracial marriage. Israel served the false god Baal. Israel only followed the Lord who led them out of Egypt for one generation. As soon as the elders died who lived along with Joshua, they worshipped and served Baal. But were they still Israelites? Yes, they were. Were they saved? The Bible doesn't say anything about them being saved or unsaved. They were God's people. Judges chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people who were around about them, bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Then the Lord sent a judge who delivered them from the enemies who had come and occupied Israel. But after the judge had died, they were worse than they had been before. Judges 2:19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. It was a continuous battle. Israel vacillated between serving their God and serving the gods of the Canaanites. They continued to fail the test. God's purpose in using the enemies of Israel, usually the seed of the wicked seed line, was to test his nation and see if they would be obedient and depend upon him for continued help. Look at what I found in a popular Bible commentary. And I'm quoting the commentary. Quote, "For this same reason, he permits Christians to be tested. That is, it's the same battle," unquote. Why would that be true? It's because the people of the covenant in the Old Testament are the very same people in the New Testament. Let's look at a couple of verses from the New Testament and see what it says. Colossians 3:24. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." 1 Thessalonians 1:9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Then our next verse is in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament? Who were the Hebrews? The Bible informs us that it was the Hebrews who were in Egypt and not the Jews. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And then in verse 15, "And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sapphira and the name of the other Pua." Here is one of the hundreds of verses that show that the Hebrews were the people who were in Egypt that their God delivered in the Passover. It wasn't the Jews, it was the Hebrews. In the New Testament writing, it says that these people had their sins purged by the death of their Savior. It didn't mention anyone else that had their sins purged. Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your," the Hebrews, "conscience from dead works to serve the living God." How do churches determine that a person has accepted Jesus the Christ? Most non-Catholic churches determine that when a child becomes around 12 or 13, they are to come up to the front of the church when the invitation to come to Jesus Christ is made at the church. They are to publicly acknowledge that they accept Jesus as their Savior. They are then considered as being saved. This then gives them the right to become church members and to take communion. In most churches, this is an automatic procedure. As before they become church members, they must take special classes studying church doctrine and church practices. An adult whose parents were not members of the church must come forward at the invitation of the pastor. Once he comes forward, he says something like, "I believe in the Lord Jesus and I trust him in my heart," unquote. He then is baptized and becomes a member of the church. He then can take communion. Other churches have slightly different procedures, but they are all similar. I participated in a procedure that was very much like what I described. When I was about 13 years old, I attended a class at our local Baptist church. My parents were charter members of that church. My older brother had completed the course 2 years ahead of me. After taking the classes about church doctrine and practices, the whole class went forward at the invitation of the pastor. I said what was called the sinner's prayer, and then I was baptized. After all this was completed, I took communion for the first time. Roman Catholics and some other churches baptize their infants. This, in their mind, guarantees their eternal home. Other churches have the same practice. But is it biblical? I believe the Bible teaches something that is drastically different. A person doesn't have to go in front of a church and accept the pastor's invitation to come to Jesus and then say something akin to the sinner's prayer. It is only after doing this that members of the false church say that a person is a Christian and a spiritual Israelite. But it's not necessary for a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to do this. He already is a child of God, no matter what God he serves. Churches used to be all white churches. After they became integrated, they needed to change their doctrines and practices. They switched from teaching that God chooses his people to man chooses God, which is correct. Now, they both can't be correct. One is wrong. Which one? And if God chose his people, who did he choose? Did God choose all races after his death and resurrection? Or did God keep the everlasting covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed? God was king over this seed. He fought for this seed. Would he change and dictate that now even the enemies that God fought against are to be treated equally with the same blessings? No. The people of God is a seed line. It is racial. If you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you are God's people. There's no need for anyone to go up and say the sinner's prayer in front of a church. God's people are born into that line if they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If these three people who are God loved are in their ancestry and no one has mixed their holy seed with any other kind of seed, then they are God's covenant people. The question is, who will they serve? The enemy of the covenant seed is another seed line that is in direct opposition to God's. They are born with the hatred of Jacob's seed and their God in their mind and heart. They are the evil mongrel seed line of the Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites, Jews. They are the seed of the serpent. They are the modern day Pharisees who say in their unholy book that Jesus is now in hell, boiling in a hot cauldron. Most Christians have a verse of scripture hanging on their wall or in a picture frame on their mantle They're the words spoken by Joshua as he gave a review of Israel's history. We have one that's in a picture frame sitting on our fireplace mantel. It starts out, Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the river of old, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Joshua begins by speaking to the leaders of Israel by telling them a brief history of their people. He told of how God moved Abraham to the land of Canaan, and then gave him Isaac, and then to Isaac was given Esau and Jacob. Jacob and his seed went to Egypt, where he brought them out of slavery and led them to victory over the giant king Shihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. He then talked about some of the battles with the Canaanites on the western side of the Jordan River. Eventually, he referred to the giving of the inheritance of the land to the children of Israel. He then comes to the verse that is right before the famous verse, Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Yahweh. Joshua tells the leaders of Israel to not serve the gods that their fathers served previously, but serve the Lord God who led them out of Egypt. Then he tells them the famous verse that is hanging in many Christian homes, including mine. Joshua 4:24-15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What we have in our mantle says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. God told the leaders of Israel to make the choice on whether they would serve the Lord or whether they would serve the false gods that their fathers served. He didn't ask them the question that is asked in the multitude of churches today. They're now filled with other races and mongrels. He didn't ask them to come up before all the congregation and say the sinner's prayer. That was because it was totally unnecessary to do so, because it was racial. And they were born God's chosen covenant people. Joshua 24, verses 16 and 18. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and did those great things in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Well, the people who heard Joshua's quest answered in agreeing with it. The choice that they had was serving what God? The God of the Canaanites, or the Lord God who made a covenant with their fathers? It was not a decision as to who wanted to become a child of God. They were already by birth a child of God. No one who is not physically born a child of God can become one by just going up and choosing to become one? Can a person of another race, just by going up to the front of the church, turn into a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Joshua 24, verses 19 through 23. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, say he, the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. People chose the Lord their God to serve him. Joshua 24:31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and who had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Joshua gave the leaders of Israel a choice. It was not a choice about whether they would trust the God of their salvation, but which God or God they would serve. There is a difference. What about this? Can you find Moses giving an invitation to the Israelites or to all the races of the world to become a child of God? Can you find the Apostle Paul giving an invitation to the Israelites or to all races of the world to become a child of God? Maybe this is a consequence to the gospel of salvation, which is nowhere mentioned in the Bible. It is preached so that all races can come forth and accept Jesus Christ, but they can't. So it is not mentioned in the Bible. Psalms 22:30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. What seed shall serve him? It's not a seed of all the different races of the world. It's the seed of Jacob Israel that will serve him. Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. If you change who is in the church, you must change the message. The message has been changed so that now everyone who enters has the same opportunity to be in the church. But God and his covenant people have a different message. It is a racial message. Every one of his people are already his people. The choice they have is who are they going to serve, the Lord God or the false gods? I'll ask you a question. Who are you going to serve? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.